Hello and welcome to the Hammer and Rails podcast. I'm your host, Casey Bartley, and we have a special guest, Rayfield Davis, the four-year star at Purdue who turned into one of the best two-way players in recent Purdue history. Rayfield, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the time and opportunity.
Absolutely. We're excited to talk about the season that just started off last week. Also, you are jumping into the podcast forum. Your first episode went up last week with the King of Mackey, Tommy Luce. We're going to start off by talking about the season, then jump around to a couple different things. First of all, how's you and your family? How was Thanksgiving? Did you get all the turkey you could ever want?
Thanksgiving was good. I'm living in Atlanta now, so my daughter and my fiance, we got to go up to Indiana, see my parents, see my family. Awesome. And that was good, just kind of be around. But also while Indiana, over kind of, I guess, that Thanksgiving break, was able to train a lot of different kids in Indiana, which was super cool. So I had a really good time.
I say you are spending your time pretty much full-time training now, correct? Are you doing mostly kids high school age? What are you getting into?
I do all ages. I have full-time training, basketball, mentor, watching film with kids. My youngest kid that I trained is 6. I had a 3.5-year-old come to the gym a couple weeks ago. I trained Eric a couple weeks ago. So I guess I go all ages, I guess, in terms of training. And just kind of whoever enjoys basketball, loves basketball, wants to be around it, I get in the gym with you.
It's not surprising you probably had as big of a turnaround from freshman year to senior year. In just 4 years, the amount of improvement you could do on your own game. So exciting to see you lend that expertise towards younger players. How old's your daughter?
I have a daughter. My daughter's 6. My oldest daughter's 6. She'll be 7 next week. And then my youngest daughter is 1. I have a 17-month-year-old.
So it's about time to get the almost 7-year-old in the gym.
Oh, yeah. She told me. She's been telling me the last year when she turns 7, she's going to start playing. So we just got our first pair of pink Jordans.
Nice.
So that was cool. She said she was saving them until she turned 7. When she turned 7, she'll start playing. So I didn't pressure her. I just let her figure it out herself until now.
Well, that's exciting. Let's just jump into the Purdue season this year. We're 2 games in, mm-hmm. 1 win, 1 loss. I believe you have spent some of these kids on the team. You sent out a picture that they were looking at some film tape after the loss, correct?
Yeah, no, that wasn't actually my picture. That was Eric. I mean, Eric is my cousin.
Oh, so,
yeah, Eric's family. Yeah,
I didn't realize.
In a sense of, yeah, so Eric sent me a video of he taking Mason and Brandon through some film. Mason and Brandon came to Eric, and they, they were upset with the loss, and they wanted Eric to take them through some film, although Eric didn't play. Right. Eric took them through some film. So that was something that after seeing the night of Twitter and, I mean, myself being upset too, being a fan now, it's kind of we forget that those players get more upset than us. So that was a moment where I captured that from Eric and just wanted people to know that, yeah, we're upset, but it's not like those guys are going back to campus and hanging out like we were my sophomore year when we came in last place. So, I mean, those guys won it.
Yeah, how rare is that for two – you know, they've redshirted, but they're still freshmen. That's their first game time to be that locked in already, especially during a year where there are 1,000 good reasons to not be focused on the game of basketball.
Hey, because I know when I was a freshman and we lost, I wasn't necessarily worried about the loss. I was worried about how many points I got. So for those guys to want to come home and not lay down in their bed, get right to it and learn more from an upperclassman, even though the upperclassman didn't play. But what I took from that was also that upperclassman, he didn't play, but he's not in the position to be jealous or to be stingier with his information. Like, I know guys that will get hurt that may wonder if their minutes will get taken. Eric is in a position to where he's helping these guys get more minutes, even if that comes at the expense of him. But for two freshmen to come in and want to watch film at 5 a.m, I never did it. And I was at Purdue for 4 years. I never seen a freshman do it. So I thought that was huge.
Yeah, no, that's great. Not shocking from Eric. He's shown himself to be a leader on the court from day one. So speaking of the game, what did you? Eric Hunter Jr., obviously. And then on top of that, to lose Jaden Ivey for the second game, that really hurt our guard depth. So what did you see
Right.
watching the first two games?
I mean, yeah, I was training the first game. I didn't really get to check that one out. The second game, it was, I mean, that pressure got to us. I mean, not having our starting point guard from last year, I don't think people realize or take into consideration that Eric was the starting point guard last year. So to not have your starting point guard against that type of pressure, to not have NBA talent level guard in Jaden Ivey against that type of pressure, I mean, it hurt. But also with Ethan didn't practice. I don't know if people weren't paying attention to that, but Ethan didn't practice much, so not in shape at all. And also to not have a freshman, I mean, not have a summer as a freshman, I mean, for him to go out there and just get the ball up the court was impressive against that pressure. But then Isaiah being strong with the ball, I mean, we just lacked some of our guards, I would say. But if we have, to me, in my opinion, if we had those two guards, we handle that pressure fine. But I mean, if we throw the ball inside, I mean, big fella, he dunks everything. That's one thing I love about him, that I mean, he's just gonna dunk it. So he's not gonna, no hook shot, no finesse, just dunk everything. I'm very excited about this team, especially to get Eric back in the way Eric wants to lead, especially right now. Right now, Eric, in the time being out and taking you back to my senior year when I was out, it's a time where you can kind of fall into yourself or you can fall into the team. And Eric has kind of fell into the team. So I'm very excited to get him back. I'm excited to get Trevion going. I mean, talking to Trevion before the season, knowing how much he wants it. I mean, he had a Zoom call with me for like 2 or 3 hours just asking questions, just sitting there in silence. I mean, he looked at me and asked me, how can I do more? Like, I want more. And I'm like, yo, you're gonna get the ball every play. He just wants more. And he may not have played the way he wanted to play, but knowing what he wants out the season, I'm just super excited for him. I know Aaron shot the ball well in the first game. And then that second game, I mean, he struggled to get the ball across half court at times. So, I mean, he really didn't necessarily have that. No one on the court necessarily had a great flow the entire game. But, I mean, I'm excited for Aaron and just knowing his self-awareness from last season. I mean, he looked you in your face and tell you what his problem was for last season. And a lot of players will run from that. They'll tell you it was the coach's fault. They'll tell you something else. But not only did Aaron do it, but I shot around with Aaron, but then Aaron's father reached out to me, and he said the same exact thing that Aaron said. So that lets me know that as a family, they get it. They're not blaming coach. They're not blaming anybody else. Aaron's taking full responsibility of this season. So, and to be so young, I mean, I can go on and on. I'm just super excited about these guys. I mean, I don't know if I answered your question about the game, but
No, I
I just
mean,
think with that type of pressure, it's tough without your starting point guard,
right.
I mean, another top guard. But we have to handle the pressure. I mean, we can't throw the ball all over the gym. So hopefully, hopefully Payne will implement some things he did from my sophomore year. But I mean, it's still they're still Purdue. They're still Division One guards. Isaiah Thompson still one of the better guards in the Big Ten. Ethan still one of the better guards come out of Pennsylvania. Still can't have that many turnovers. But I don't think we have that if we for at full steam.
Yeah, I think it does hit the point is despite what happened that game specifically, the outlook going forward, because we did see Ethan Morton is he's 6'6" and he has handles.
Yeah, exactly.
He was pretty bad the first game, which I think is probably the first time he's been on the court in what, 4 to 5 weeks. So to see him turn around that quickly and give that many good minutes, another possible just size mismatch on people. And yeah, Aaron Wheeler shooting well, big improvement. Probably the most shocking thing from those first two games, though. Hard to not look on the court and notice the 7'4" guy acting like Godzilla, just throwing stuff down. You've spent a lot of time on the court going against some bigger guys. Obviously, Isaac Haas is the mountain most recent before him that you think of. How much of what you saw in Edie in his first two games, he's only been playing basketball for something like 28 months. What did you see from his game that that is an indicator of what he can be going forward? And is that sustainable through the whole year? I think he dropped 15 and 17 in his first two games.
All right. Yeah, I think he's sustainable. I think what I noticed about him first is that normally you see a bigger guy, especially a giant like that, they may be a little more timid. They may be a little more cautious with their space. But I mean, he takes it. I mean, he's going to dunk everything. He doesn't really necessarily care if you're in the way. I definitely got to that point. AJ got to that point. But I mean, he has it as a freshman. So that's the first thing that kind of stands out, that he just imposes himself on you. Like, he's not afraid to be big. So that's huge behind it. But also, the guys trust him. Although he's been playing basketball not that long, he can catch. And being that big and being able to catch is huge. So that's why I say it is sustainable, because if he doesn't have to play that many minutes, but if you just throw it around the rim, he can catch it and dunk it. I mean, it's extremely sustainable. I don't know if he'd be able to then shoot that many free throws. So I don't know if teams will hack or come up with some type of plan behind that. But yeah, I think I'm very excited behind him, especially to be that big and be that imposing. And as a freshman, come out and not be rattled in your first games. That was good.
His free throw shot actually looked pretty decent. I think it was 5 of 7 in the second one.
Oh, okay. Cool. I mean, yeah. I mean,
Right,
that
shocking.
to me, yeah. To me, I mean, you think of him and Trevion. You think the two of them. If you could have your center average 30, 35 points and 16, 17 rebounds between the two of them, I mean, Purdue would be cooking with gas, as they like to say.
And they'll probably get 5 assists. It'll be all Trevion, I do know, just watching him play, there's something about how quick he gets up for a big guy that I don't know if I've seen in many players. Someone
Yeah, I
that tall
mean,
with that quick of a
I think
jump.
so too. I think he just, I think you see a lot of awkwardness with a lot of big guys. You don't really see that much with him. It's like he's always been that big. He's never hit a growth spurt and never went through that awkward phase. So he's just, the weight on him is solid, and he's able to move in and maneuver quickly with it. So, I mean, I think a lot of people are shocked at him or with him. I took my fiance to a practice, and she was just blown away that he could just toss everything in the basket. So I'm excited for what he can bring. I mean, bigger than the, I mean, not bigger than the games, but to me, in my eyes, what I want to see more is a practice between him and Trevion, how Trevion maneuvers around that big body. So if Trevion can maneuver through or around that big body, it'll just only help him this season.
Yeah, and Trevion's sneaky long, very strong. So you spent a lot of your time playing with dominant big men while you were on the court. What can guards do to make Edie and Trevion's life a little easier? Trevion struggled the first two games. Missed a lot of bunnies he normally misses, so I don't think there's anything to worry about, but what can some of those other players do to kind of help out the inside?
Get it to them early. Establish a presence early on the inside. Get the big fella comfortable. Get him confident. Let him talk to him. That's one thing we'd always do with AJ. Just talk to him. Talk to Isaac. Just keep his head up. But also just push him. I mean, just give him the ball. I mean, but the biggest thing to me a guard can do is just make shots. If you open, you got to make it. And that's one thing I struggle with is guys will double off, teams will double off, and to the point where I had to start making those shots. So if you don't make those shots, you can't play. But guys on this team, this is maybe one of our most skilled teams, top to bottom, in my opinion, in a while. So guys can definitely make shots, especially guys like Brandon, guys like Aaron, guys like Eric, Isaiah. Those guys can all be in the game at the same time. You can't really leave one of them, especially with Sasha and everybody else. So make shots. Don't turn the ball over. And for a big man, just catch the ball and make sure your guard trusts that you're going to catch it. So it goes hand to hand.
You just rattled off a bunch of names. They're a whole bunch of players that Painter has had a lot of success recruiting lately. Why is Coach Painter having so much success on the recruiting trail? It seems each year now he's building on it and adding higher and higher end talent.
He's built with the time. He's not stuck in his ways. He's not stuck in the old way of coaching. Coach Payne has always kind of, one, he's always been a younger coach, but two, he's always thought ahead. He's never in the time that you're in. You know what I mean? He's not a guy that, I mean, I don't know if it's still the same, but I've seen Coach Payne's phone one time in my life, and he had no apps on it other than the factory apps. So it's like, he keeps his life very simple, and that shows through kind of everything. I mean, he's just real. is who he is. There's no fluff behind it. I think at this point in the world, people can see fake and phony. And Paint is probably, I mean, I've known Paint since I was 13.
Right.
And I'm 27 now. I've never even felt as though he was lying to me.
Right.
So I've never seen him lie to a kid or sell a kid a dream. He never told me, hey, Ray, sell this kid a dream in recruiting. I mean, I've hosted guys like Carson. I've hosted guys, Kendall Stevens, when he first came to campus, Bryson Scott, a lot of guys, Dakota, a lot of guys that's recruited, that's been committed to Purdue that I hosted. There was never any hidden agenda from Paint. So Paint's a guy, too, that I think that not only players but families understand that, that Purdue is bigger than basketball. Paint,
right.
I mean, I don't know how this will come off, but I don't know if Paint cares if you go to the NBA, but Paint cares if you're a good man and you can take care of your family.
Right.
So to him is, how can you use basketball as a tool to take care of your family? And if you can't make it to breakfast on time in the morning, how are you going to pay your electric bill every month? So Paint's a real bigger than basketball type of guy. Parents see that. Parents see the success he has, but also players see that he's a player's coach. He played with the number one draft pick.
Right.
I mean, you can't really get more than a player's coach than that. So he's seen it. He's actually gave the ball to the number one pick and said, go do your thing. So Paint is a guy that is willing to just give you the ball and let you go play as long as you're playing defense the way he wants you to. So I think players see that too. So at Purdue, it was when I was there that, oh, guards don't go to Purdue because they want to throw the ball on the inside.
Right.
So then Carson comes and Carson gets an NBA. And then it's now you got best of both worlds. So it's really not a flaw in the things he's doing right now, in my opinion, recruiting wise. And he's recruiting. I'm gonna say this: he's recruiting Fort Wayne a lot. that's been helping him. I mean, he started with Kramer in the Huntington area, went away from it for a little bit, then came back, and now it's helping him
out. Yep. And it's treated him pretty well. Yeah, and one thing, talking to other coaches around the league and other players, just Peter as a communicator is like next level for any specialization, any career. He is just a great one-on-one talker.
Yeah.
And there is something very valuable in that. All right, we're going
to
go.
He gets to A to B real quick.
Yes.
I mean, that's all. He gets to A to B real quick. He doesn't, it's no fluff. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick little break from to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back with Rayfield Davis. We'll play a little either-or game. All right, we're back with star guard Rayfield Davis, and we're about to play a little either-or game. Rayfield, all I'm going to do is give you two options. You have to pick one or the other, all right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start simple. Three-pointer or a dunk?
Dunk.
Okay. Basket or assist?
Basket.
All right. Block or steal?
Steal.
Coaching or playing?
Coaching.
Oh. MJ or LeBron? Did you answer a cutout, I think?
No, I didn't answer. I don't. Both.
Do both. all right. Ham or turkey?
Ham.
Xbox or PS?
PS5.
Okay. Do you have one?
No.
Okay.
My brother does, so I live vicariously through him.
Gotcha. All right, and then last one here. Harry's Chocolate Shop or Neon Cactus?
Harry's.
Yeah, you're a Harry's guy.
Yeah, Harry. My popcorn is unbelievable.
The popcorn. That's definitely what you go to a campus bar for. Everyone on the site that writes for it is pro Harry's, and I think it's the sticky bar that's a disappointment. But
that's just me. It's definitely super sticky. I go in and throw the popcorn, and they stay by the door. But I wasn't a Neon Cactus guy either. That line was always too long. So.
That's fair. I feel like you probably could have got in a little quicker if you wanted.
I never brought any unneeded attention. I always That's one thing, actually. I caught our guys doing that at a time, and I cut that out quick. We came in last place the year before, and we don't cut the line.
You know,
we had a long talk about that.
That
I don't
is
know what they're doing now, but I'm sure they're to the front of the line now. They
yeah.
went to the Elite Eight, but we were last place in the Big Ten the year before that.
That's sage advice. All right, let's go ahead and talk about what you're doing nowadays. You're down in Atlanta training kids, and last week you just started a podcast.
Right.
And your first guest was King of Mackey, Tommy Luce, the national sensation.
Yep.
First of all, why'd you start off with him to start into your little podcasting career?
Yeah, my podcast, Ray Philip Davis, on YouTube, the Ray Philip Davis podcast. But with Tommy, when I was leaving Purdue, headed out, going into my professional career, Tommy was coming in. So Tommy was a guy where I was had a workout and Peyton asked, said, "Hey, can you stay and play 2-on-2 with some guys? We're looking at one of the guys." He didn't tell me which guy. So the guy on my team happened to be this small white kid from Southern Indiana that could make shots. And we were talking, I was just finished going. I was talking a lot of trash, and he was going with me. And after the workout, we went, obviously. After the workout, I kind of asked, kind of which guy were they looking at on the other team. They told me it was the guy I was playing with. So, I mean, at that moment, he felt like the better player out of the three because I was going to talk some trash and say that should have been the guy anyway.
Right.
But, I mean, at that moment, I fell in love with Tommy just because I can be a lot, and he wasn't afraid in that moment. And he took that moment, and he made a lot of shots. But, I mean, it was just kind of my transition out at Purdue, and he kind of came in, and to me, he took the reins, and he took it off. He was kind of the heart and the soul of the team behind a lot of it in a lot of different ways. So that's kind of why I started with Tommy.
That's awesome. What in general are you hoping to express and communicate with this podcast going forward? Are you going to stick to mostly Purdue guys? Where are you going to aim your focus on guests?
I'm going to do a lot of Purdue guys, a lot of former players, a lot of coaches, former coaches. I'm trying to expand to the Big Ten, a lot of basketball players. But my goal behind this podcast is to give the youth advice, give the youth the advice that I didn't have, give the youth some inside experience, some inside advice, some things that maybe their high school coach won't know or their first grade coach won't know, but they can get a firsthand conversation with PJ Thompson or Tommy Luce. Or my experience isn't the same for everyone. I'm 6'5". I've been this tall. I've been 6'3" in 8th grade. I had to Purdue. I committed to Purdue as a freshman in high school. But Tommy Luce had an experience as the preferred walk-on that goes on to win 2 Big Ten championships. PJ has an experience that he doesn't commit to Purdue until second semester of his senior season. So they have different experiences than I do. So it's just about giving as much information to the youth as possible because the youth to me is the future. And if you have some information, you might as well give it back. And these are things that people can come to the rest of their life and come and check out.
Yeah, that's great. And there's a ton of people that have podcasts and have a voice, but it is very nice to actually get to hear stuff from people that were actually there that lived it, talking to other people that know it. It's got to be a weird experience as a college player, especially in a town that is so college basketball obsessed that all these people assume some part of your life, assume they know you and whatever, but really
Right.
you are a stranger to them. So definitely excited to get to hear a little more of you. I'm going to ask you a question that you asked Tommy Luce because I can't believe you had the balls to ask. Who's the best player you played with?
That's not
I
played
wouldn't
with at Purdue.
normally ask, but you asked someone on yours, so
Oh yeah, 100% at Purdue or in life.
both. Let's start at
AJ
Purdue and
Hammond.
then
I'm gonna
overall.
say AJ Hammond.
Okay.
AJ Hammond is AJ Hammond's best player at Purdue. AJ Hammond's probably the best player I ever played with. I mean, I don't know if I don't think people got to see how good AJ was 100% of the time.
Right.
But yeah, AJ, I would say AJ. I play with a lot of good players. I'm gonna go with AJ though. AJ'd be the number one player I play with.
I mean, that checks out. I played with him once in the co-rec, and that dude, you should not be that big and move like he does.
Yeah, nah, you shouldn't. The way AJ can block shots with his left hand, I mean, it's just certain things you can't teach. And AJ, I know AJ since we were 12. And it's just certain things you can't teach, and he just has it. So, yeah.
Is he your choice for best Purdue defender of your lifetime?
Close second. I would, if I had to rank best defenders all time at Purdue, I would go Kramer first.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say Kramer first only because the experience Kramer gave me. I get goosebumps every time I think about it. I was probably a sophomore in high school, mm-hmm. or maybe a junior. I was sitting next to Jay Simpson or something. Mm-hmm. And Michigan was at Purdue. Manny Harris goes across Kramer's nose. He breaks it.
Oh, yes.
And Kramer was up in his stuff. And he had Manny Harris frustrated all game. He breaks his nose. He gets put out the game. But the way Kramer comes back through that tunnel with that mask mm-hmm. on, I have, till this day, like I said, I get goosebumps right now. I've never heard anything like it. So for that, for Kramer to get that type of reaction off of a hustle play,
right?
He was Superman in my eyes for that day. So I didn't care what Etwan did that day. I don't know what Juwan did that day. Kramer made the roof blow off. So then I will go AJ. Then I'm going to go my man Kenny Lowe.
Okay.
Kenny Lowe. So that will be my top three.
Nice. Your fourth, obviously.
No, I would say fourth. I would give it I would say I'm giving fourth to Lou Jack. Sneaky fourth. Lou Jack is definitely a sneaky fourth in that.
That's fair.
Just his ability to Lou Jack jam all games,
yeah,
100% of the time, never gave up, had a broke foot. So yeah, I get at the Lou Jack.
Yeah, if you were a point guard, you weren't looking forward to playing him for 40 minutes a game.
No, not at all.
All right, we'll go ahead and wrap this up. We'll keep you here all night. What do you have in store in the near future? I believe it's PJ Thompson this next week.
Yeah, guest. I have PJ Thompson. We dropped PJ Thompson tonight. So,
tonight.
The Davis podcast on YouTube. We dropped PJ Thompson tonight. Then next week, we'll have Johnny Hill. And then we'll keep building from there. But then, other than that, we got some basketball camps coming up in the near future. I'm doing a lot of training from Georgia to Indiana. I'm just in the gym, just talking a lot.
Where can people follow you on Twitter?
@RayfieldDavis3 on Twitter, then @RayfieldDavis on Instagram, then @RayfieldDavis on YouTube, all three.
Okay, perfect.
And Rayfield is RAPHEALDAVIS. I had a news special on that in high school, so I want to make sure people know that.
No, that's good. I'm pretty sure until you said your name in the podcast, I didn't know for sure whether it was Rayfield. I think announcers jump through everything throughout their career.
Yeah, I've heard it all. It's all good. But it's Rayfield down the stairs, Rayfield.
Well, no matter how you say it, you're an absolute Purdue legend. We look forward to hearing more from you, talking to other Purdue stars on your podcast. Go check that out. Everyone, thank you for listening. Rayfield, thank you for being here. Have a great day.
Thank you. I appreciate the time. Thank you.